Part A. Listen to a class discussion to answer questions 1 to 5.
Listen to part of a discussion in an oceanography class and take notes.
Okay, everyone. Today we're going to discuss a new topic in oceanography, vertical migration, or to be more specific, Dale vertical migration. As you may know, Dale is from the Latin word for day. So, based on that, what does Dale vertical migration probably mean? Yes, Tom?
Well, I imagine it refers to some kind of movement in the water. Maybe from the coastline to open sea. You know, away from the coast.
It does involve movement in the water, so you're definitely on the right track. But remember, it's called vertical migration, so it refers to up and down movement. So just to give you a clear definition, Dale vertical migration is when organisms in the ocean move from deep zones to shallow zones. Oh, and one more thing that I want to add to that definition is that this doesn't just happen in oceans. Scientists have actually observed vertical migration in lakes as well. Rachel, did you have a question?
It's just, well, earlier you mentioned a term, Dale?
Oh, that's right. So vertical migration refers to movement from deep to shallow water, and Dale just means that it occurs daily based on the time of day. Is that more or less clear? So, for example, during the day, animals like squid stay in the deep part of the water. Then, after it gets dark, they rise, migrate to shallower waters. That's Dale vertical migration. Now, why the squid, or any animal for that matter, engages in Dale vertical migration is what I want to focus on next. Before I move on to that, does anybody have any questions? Tom?
In the example you just mentioned with the squid, you said that the animal stays in deep water during the daytime and moves to shallow water at night. I'm wondering, is it ever the other way around? Like, do animals ever stay in shallow parts of the water in the daytime and move to deeper water only when it's dark?
Actually, they do. What you just described is called reverse migration. I'm trying to think of an example of an organism that does that, but I'm going to have to get back to you on that. That just goes to show you, reverse migration is pretty rare. That's why I can't think of an example. There just aren't that many animals that do that. Anyway, why? That's the question I want to answer. Why do animals engage in Dale vertical migration? Any guesses?
There's one thing that comes to mind. Maybe by staying in the depths of the ocean during the day, animals are safer, because it's dark down there, isn't it?
Yes, very. And you're definitely onto something, but you've only explained one part. You explained why animals stay in the depths during the day, but what about why do they migrate up at night?
To get food, right?
That's it. Okay, so here's how it works. As Rachel mentioned, it's dark in the deep parts of the ocean, and frankly, there isn't much to eat down there. But by staying there during the day, organisms avoid detection from predators. But there's a problem here. They can't stay down there forever, or they won't be able to find food. So they rise to shallower waters, where there's more food. And they do this at night, when it will be harder for predators to see them. It's a pretty good strategy, huh? Okay, good. Okay, so that's one reason for Dale vertical migration, and it's related to survival by avoiding predators. But there's another reason that I want to mention. Let me start by asking, what happens if you go to the beach and you spend too much time in the sun?
You get sunburned?
Right. Because the sun's rays are strong and they can damage our skin. And it may be hard to believe, but this is true for animals too, including fish. The fact is, for many organisms, the light intensity near the surface of the water is just too strong. It would hurt them if they stayed there all day long. So what do? They move to the deeper zones, where the light intensity isn't so strong. Then, at night, when there is less light and the shallower zone is more comfortable, they move up.
Now answer the questions. You may use your notes.
Part B. Listen to several short conversations to answer questions 6 to 15.
Question number 6.
You really can't throw very well. I don't think you can be on the team unless you improve.
I'm afraid I'm very bad at playing sports.
What describes the man? Question number 7.
Look, the pond is frozen. It's perfect weather for skating. I want to go right now.
Don't you think it's a bad idea to go alone?
What would the woman suggest? Question number 8.
Isn't this place a good value?
Unfortunately, they don't bring you your food when it's hot.
Where did this conversation take place? Question number 9.
Say, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Last semester we both took European history. Don't you remember?
What does the woman mean? Question number 10.
Jeremy loves to play soccer, so I had his brother go to a store in the suburbs and get him this great soccer ball.
That's great. Do you think Jeremy will let me borrow it sometime?
Whom is the soccer ball for? Question number 11.
I would have called if I had thought it would help.
Oh, well. Thanks anyway for thinking of us.
What does the woman say about the man's call? Question number 12.
Watch out for that low overpass.
I see it. We can clear it, no problem.
Where does this conversation probably take place? Question number 13.
I'm so unhappy with my test results.
Well, I'm not exactly dissatisfied with mine. And anyway, there's always next time.
What does the man say about his test results? Question number 14.
Did you see that bird fly right past us?
No. I was having enough trouble just walking down the trail.
Where does this conversation probably take place? Question number 15.
How was your trip to the state park?
What a great place!
What does the woman say about her trip?